Thank you, Brother Steve, for sharing those two scenes with us, the scenes in Lamentations and then the scenes in Ephesians. Even the scene in the beginning of Ephesians 2 is not pretty, but we're so glad that it changes. And I'm also glad for the personal pronouns there, that God is a personal God. And it finally comes to individual choice. For He is our peace. I'm glad for that this morning, and that we have been able to come nigh to our Creator, our God, by the blood of Christ this morning. This time, we'll give opportunity for, I believe it's Floyd. I'm not sure that if there's anyone else other than Floyd to share his personal testimony. Brother Floyd. Thank you, Brother Floyd. Is there anyone else? Right, thank you very much. Brother Floyd had a very good reason not to be here, and we'll continue to rejoice and pray for his wife and little one. Shifting into the message this morning, certainly have an interest in your prayers that we would again find direction and inspiration from the Word this morning, and also challenge from the Word. What do you think of with the word surrender? Maybe you think of a policeman beside the road, and he has somebody with their hands up. That is surrender. Or maybe you think of the unconditional surrender after World War II. There's some pictures of that, of the meeting there. I believe it was on a ship. The unconditional surrender. Webster says it means to give up completely, to yield, to give oneself over into the power of another. Other words we could use in place of surrender would be yield or relinquish. The word surrender is really a word that we really don't like that much. We don't like it overly much. Maybe I'm just betraying myself. I remember wrestling as a boy. And, you know, when one was beat and you couldn't move and you were in a locked position, something you could say is, I give. And that meant that you lost, you surrendered, it's over, I give. Title of the message is Scenes of Surrender. There's a number of scenes in Scripture that we could think of. But I was particularly drawn to Abraham. You know, Abraham was familiar with the trials and testings of faith. And I believe we could say that he had more than an average person. You know, the first one, I believe, was that call to leave his home, the Ur of the Chaldees. You know, it was a call to separate himself from what he ever knew. God said, leave. And he showed some weakness at first, if you study that. But he eventually passed the test of faith. Another test was the test of hunger and famine and possibly losing his wealth. And he moved down into Egypt, the type of the world, leaving the promised land. We could say he failed that test. Another test was relating to his nephew Lot, and dealing also with the crisis of the invading kings that took Lot captive. Another test was waiting for the promised son. The test of sending Ishmael away. It was his prayer that, oh, that Ishmael would live forever before thee. Oh, that Ishmael might live before these words of Abraham. And then there's that farewell test. And we have that in, you may open your Bibles to Genesis 22. But in Genesis 21, verse 10, wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. And the Bible says the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. And then God came, told Abraham, hearken unto her voice. Send them away. You know, these things that I share here were not temptations where Abraham was drawn away of his own lust. They were tests of faith. They were trials of faith. And he needed to make some decisions. They were testings from God, what we could call in the school of faith. You know, what testing does in the school of faith is reveal our spirituality. Reveals who we are, where we are with God. Genesis chapter 22 is the ultimate, what I would say is the ultimate test of Abraham, the ultimate trial of his faith in Genesis 22. We like to read Genesis 22, verses 1 through 14 at this time. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar of the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven, and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Verse 2 is not many words. It could be condensed further to just 5 words. Abraham, go kill your son. Those are words that are a knife to the bone. Abraham, you take away that bright spot in your life. I won't do it, you do it. Take away the bright spot in your life. You know, as God looked on, it was obvious that Abraham loved his son. That Abraham loved his son very much. Did Abraham love God more? You know, God knows all things. Did Abraham know the answer? Title of the message is Scenes of Surrender. We like to look at a number of scenes here in this story, and also a few scenes in the story of Jesus and Calvary. This is somewhat of a comparison. There is a number of things that parallel Calvary here in this story. But we like to think of scenes of surrender. The first one is Abraham preparing for the journey to Mount Moriah. In verse 3, Abraham preparing for the journey to Mount Moriah. Abraham that day arose to a very difficult day. He may have said it was the most difficult of his life. I don't know. But it was an extreme command, and it was probably at the most inconvenient time. It may have been at a time that both Isaac and Abraham should be home. And God had this call. He needed to explain this quick trip to Sarah and answer the what? What are you saying? You're leaving? Did he have Isaac and Sarah together? Or did he do it separate? Abraham preparing to the journey to Mount Moriah. He didn't send a servant to split wood. That's what that word clave means. It means he clave the wood, he split the wood. It's a scene of surrender. Him doing that himself. Abraham swinging that axe. Every swing, I believe, was another swing of submission and surrender to God. Just pack that wood for a burnt sacrifice of his son. Then packing the rope. And packing that heart, or that knife, with a trembling heart. Surrender. And then surrender. As he and Isaac started to walk away, and I would think that Sarah stood there at the tent door and they waved to each other. It was a wave of surrender. Moving on to the next point, another scene of surrender is God preparing to send his son to earth. We thought of Abraham in that preparation to go to Mount Moriah to offer his son. Now let's think about God preparing to send his son to earth. You know, what preparations were done in heaven before God sent Jesus away, down to earth? We know that the angel Gabriel was sent to Mary with that message that you're going to have a very special son. At what point were all the angels informed that Jesus would be absent for a time in heaven? That he would leave the glory and the perfection, the gold, and live on the dirt and walk on the dirt and be among sinful men? I can envision a scene of heaven that God would announce that this would be soon happening. You'd have tens and tens of thousands of angels looking at the throne room, God saying, Jesus is going to be leaving. He's going to sinful man to provide a way. I can see us picture Jesus in my small mind of bowing his head in surrender. He's willing to go. He's willing to go and be the Lamb of God offered for the sins of the people. A scene of surrender. Thirdly, going back to our story here with Abraham, that is that Abraham and Isaac went both of them together. It's mentioned twice, verse 6 and verse 7, or verse 8 at the end. So they went both of them together. Your father and son walking together. Father carrying the fire and the knife. Father was elderly, and it would make sense as to why he would put the wood on Isaac's back and his son. At this time, Isaac was approximately 20 years old. You think of the fortitude of heart that took for Abraham to have his son Isaac kneel before him and Abraham tie that wood on his back. Abraham knew what it was for. It was a scene of surrender to his God. Your son that he waited for decades for. You know, Abraham had dreams of the future, and those dreams of the future were wrapped up in his son. Think about it, that God gave Abraham time to consider. He gave him 3 days to walk and think and ponder and meditate. He had time to turn back from his mission. He had time to say, I'm not going to do it. This is ridiculous. I'm going back home. God gave him time to make such a decision. Then there was that question, where's the lamb? Isaac was familiar with what was required for worship. He came from a godly family that worshiped God. And he knew they needed a lamb. And it was a fair question. And it would seem like Abraham was prepared for it and waiting for that question. It's a scene of surrender. Abraham and Isaac, them, both of them, walking together. Fourthly, another scene of surrender is Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Open your Bibles to Mark chapter 14, verses 32 through 36. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. And they came to a place which was named Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit ye here while I shall pray." And he taketh with him Peter and James and John, and began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy. And he saith unto them, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch." And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt." Here we see the humanity of Jesus. Jesus knew about this moment before the foundation of the world. You know, he had years to contemplate this. He had years to ponder it and prepare for it. And now, here it was. And it appears like his flesh wasn't ready for it. And we as humans can easily and readily connect to that, can we not? You're the battle of the mind and heart. That here it is. And we're not quite ready. And he prays, "Isn't there another way, Father? Isn't there another way?" You're the weight that Jesus felt on him is unimaginable. It's uncomprehendable for us to understand the weight that he felt. He was the lamb in the thicket that was to be offered. He knew the salvation of souls of the past, the salvation of the souls of the present, and the salvation of souls in the future. Here, you and I, it all was on him. It all fell on him. Tremendous pressure. We cannot imagine. He was to be the perfect Lamb of God to take away the sins of the world. "Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt." It's a scene of surrender. A scene of surrender. And we're so glad that he was willing to be surrendered completely, entirety. Fifthly, is Jesus carrying his cross to Calvary? John 19, verse 17. "And he bearing his cross went forth." He bearing his cross went forth. Think about Jesus. He was not recognizable. He was abused. He was bruised. He was bleeding. And yet he endeavored to do what sinful man asked him to do. And sinful man said, "You carry the cross. You carry your cross that we're going to nail you on." And Jesus endeavored to do that. He endeavored to carry the cross. And I see that as a scene of surrender. It shows the goodness of Jesus that he said in his heart, "I'll try to do what you asked me to do." And he began to carry the cross. We know that it didn't continue. I think it was Simon of Cyrene that came along. And I believe that was because Jesus probably stumbled or fell under the weight of the cross. But it shows the scene of surrender, being willing to carry the cross that they would nail him to. Think about it. Isaac carrying the wood for his sacrifice is a foreshadow of Jesus carrying his wooden cross to be nailed to and sacrifice for the sins of the people. Sixthly, we like to go back to Genesis 22. Is Isaac laying bound on the altar of wood? Sixthly, Isaac laying bound on the altar of wood. You know, at some point, Abraham, with a quivering voice, explained to Isaac what God asked him to do. It was a tender walk up to the top of the mountain. Possibly they stopped at times to just look each other in the eye and talk. You know, as they approached the place of worship, a place that Isaac was to be sacrificed, Abraham's heart must have felt pierced. The question, why, Lord? And it's probably a question that came to him 1,000 times as he walked on the dirt road to Mount Moriah. If Abraham waited till they arrived to their destination to tell Isaac, surely by then Isaac would have picked up on the heaviness of his father. But Abraham's faith prevailed to the end. Yeah, I believe it was his father's unrelenting faith that gave Isaac stillness of body and heart to be bound by his father and placed on that altar. It's what the Bible tells us happened. And Isaac was stronger than his father. He could have ran away. That's also another scene of surrender. The son surrendering, laying bound on the altar of wood. He could have ran away. But I believe it's Abraham's faith that prevailed. And that he would have told Isaac, this is what God told me to do. Son, God's going to make a way. God can raise you back to life. But it took a surrender on both their parts, Abraham and Isaac. I believe the ultimate scene of surrender in this story is just this, is in the verse in 10. It's the ultimate scene of surrender. You know, Isaac is laying bound on the altar. And his father Abraham, probably having one hand possibly over his eyes so he couldn't see, but with the other hand having an up his knife, his hand raised in the air, just ready to bring it down upon his son. I believe it was the ultimate test of surrender to his God. We notice that in verse 12. Lay not thine hand upon thy lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. Seventhly, is Jesus extending forgiveness to his enemies and dying in peace? We have this in Luke chapter 23. Jesus extending forgiveness. I marvel at Jesus and how he extended forgiveness and died in peace. Luke chapter 23, verse 34. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. Verse 46, and when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Yeah, I looked in the paper at the obituaries. I was thinking that They often say, sometimes at least, passed away peacefully. And I found two that were just right beside each other, and they had those words, passed away peacefully. I marvel at Jesus, that in the midst of all the wrong and all the hate, all the lies, all the hypocrisy, all the unfairness, that Jesus surrendered it all. He forgave it all. And he died peacefully. I cannot comprehend that. That in the midst of all that, it could be said on a Jesus obituary the following day that he passed away peacefully. It's a scene of surrender. We've thought of scenes of surrender of the past. And when I worked on this message a few weeks ago, and I walked around the block in the evening, the question is how does this connect to me? Have I connected surrender to my own life? Or is this just good theology to believe in surrender? You know, we sing, I surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him, in his presence daily live. All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender. You know, as we think of communion, of the Lord's Supper, we think of Jesus' surrender for our sake. And that is right. We're so glad for Jesus' surrender. If he had not surrendered himself, we would not have salvation. But now, brethren and sisters, it has turned on us. The Bible says, Jesus says in Matthew 16:24, Jesus said unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Your Christ call of surrender goes beyond theology and doctrine. It comes to us, and it touches and needs to touch our environment, just as it touched Abraham and Isaac, and it touched Jesus and their environment. Think about it. This morning, I would suppose that there'll be tens and thousands of people that will take the emblems across the world. Some will call it Mass, others will call it the Lord's Supper, some communion. And I raise the question, how many of those people, as they come and partake of those emblems, they're coming with a surrendered heart? That is where the call is on us. And it's very clear there in Matthew 16:24-25, the verses we read, plus many other verses and teachings, that the child of God, the Christian life, it needs to be a scene of surrender. And I challenge myself on that. When I walk, is my life a scene of surrender? Is it a scene of surrender? Surrendering my fears. You're walking in the dark. I would say you feel a little more vulnerable out there in the country, along the cornfields and the cars. I remember as a child, still remember needing to take the garbage out and at night and running like crazy back to the house because of the dark. Fears. Yes, little people have fears, but adults have fears too. Have you surrendered your fears? Have I surrendered my fears? What about surrender of the future? The future can be worrisome. What will happen? At all ages, a young person can have a concern about the future, a worry about the future, middle age. And even towards the end, I believe, there's those fears. Well, who of us will die first? Who of us will be alone? We're called to surrender, surrender the future. Surrender my agenda and dreams. Surrender my control of people and situations. Put it in God's hands and come to a rest. And that's what I so marvel at Jesus on the cross. He died peacefully because he surrendered control of the whole situation to his heavenly Father and died peacefully. Is that what we're doing in our situations? Surrender of self-life. Self-life, when we think we have things we need to have, can we give it to Jesus and have him take place, our place? Have him truly be on the throne. Let Christ be in charge of our life. Surrendering my pursuits in pursuing the things of God. We may think, well, I always wanted to do this. I always wanted to buy this. I always wanted to build this. I always wanted to move this to this place. Can we surrender? Surrender our pursuits. Can we surrender? Stop resisting God. As we look in our life, can we see that in our journey of sanctification, where God would put his finger on things, and it can be sometimes very little things. It can be things that we just really like, and then we get convicted about it. We read a verse, or a brother in the church challenges us, and we know he's right. As I thought of this, I thought of a time when I was a young married man and had an older pickup and an older truck and had some nice wide sidewalls. And that truck looked nice with those white sidewalls. And I liked it that way. It was a struggle to, Now, what the church wanted, to surrender. But that's what I'm talking about in surrendering to sanctification. As God puts his finger on our areas of pride, then we surrender. You know, that's what Jesus is looking for today. He's not looking for so much a doctrines of the Bible that talks about surrender. And that's good and right. But I believe what gives God and Jesus glory is those personal serene scenes of surrender. God's people. When they lay their life, take up their cross, and follow Jesus. God tested Abraham to show that Abraham feared and reverenced and loved God above all else. It's quite a test that he had. And it may be a concern of us even. What test that God could bring into our experience in the future to be a test of our love for him. I'd like to go on to say that this communion service should be another declaration that we love God above all else, and that we love Jesus above all else, because he gave himself for us. He loved us. He loved us so very much. He gave himself so that our bands of death could be taken away and that we could have eternal life. Eternal life. It's because of surrender of Jesus. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. This time we'd like to read 1 Corinthians 11, as we normally do. Verses 23 through 26. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup. When he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood, this do ye, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. I'd like to particularly have us think this morning that as we reach forth this morning for the cup and the bread, that we think of surrender. We realize that our following Jesus is about surrender. And as he surrendered himself on the cross, as Christians this morning, we too are called to surrender. All those that have made arrangements, and those that are members in good standing here are welcome to partake in the ordinance of communion. Brother Kervin will serve the table. Brother James will assist in serving. May God be honored and glorified this morning as we obey our Lord's command. He told us to follow his example. The sisters here in the front bench may stay standing when we serve. I'll serve you where you are. Jesus gave us this example for our benefit. May it be a blessing to us at this time.